Ephesians chapter 4. We're really only going to look at verses 11 through 16. We're going to kind of breeze through 7 through 10. You know, where I'm from, I don't know if you guys know this, I'm actually pastor of Calvary Fellowship. We call it technically Calvary Fellowship Bell County, but Calvary Fellowship is in Killeen. It's actually, we meet in Harker Heights, which is kind of a suburb of Killeen, which Killeen is kind of a suburb of Fort Hood. Now, Fort Hood is the largest military installation in North America. It's very large. It's gigantic, and it's a city in itself. But one of the things about the military, the Army, is that everybody in the Army has what's called an MOS. And what that stands for is a military occupational specialty. Everybody who's in the military basically has a certain job that they sign up for. Maybe some of you guys have been in the military or in the armed forces and you kind of know something similar to that. But, you know, as we think about, you know, the military and the MOS, everybody's got this special job that they do. There are so many jobs. There's like this multitude of jobs within the Army. And it's funny because their logo is, you know, an army of one. And I've been trying to create, I haven't yet, but create a bumper sticker that is more of the Christian idea of an army for one. And it's an interesting thought because, guys, tonight as we talk about spiritual gifts, what we're talking about is not an MOS, a military occupational specialty, but we're actually talking about an SOS, a spiritual occupational specialty. Spiritually speaking, how is it that God is wanting to use you? What is your job, your duty, your place within the body of Christ? These are important questions because actually, I get really excited whenever I talk about this subject because what an awesome thing that not only the Lord saves us, but then He desires to use us in a special way. Some of you guys have experience doing ministry and serving the Lord, and it's an exciting thing. But, you know, I like to think of the church as God's army, you know, and all of us, you know, unless we work together, really can't accomplish very much. I mean, you know what would happen if the Army guys never had a specific job that they actually did? We'd all be not here right now. You know, basically would not be a good thing. But what we're looking at tonight is the subject of spiritual gifts and really how the gifted church works together. And I want to challenge you just to go and meditate on verse 16 here in chapter 4. After this Bible study, to take a look at that verse. I love the way Warren Wiersbe, he has all these great definitions. Maybe you hear Pastor Bungie quote him sometimes. But he says this, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified. I'll read that again. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified. I want to challenge you tonight. What are your spiritual gifts? In what way does God desire to use you? Those are important questions. If you're taking notes, write down these three references. There are basically three places in the Bible where we learn about spiritual gifts. And our intention tonight is not so much to study each of those, but just to look at the reason or intention behind those gifts. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. But tonight we're going to look at Ephesians 4, where we're going to get a glimpse of, and this is kind of the title of our message and what we're looking at in a nutshell, the intention of spiritual gifts. The intention of spiritual gifts. Whose intentions? God's intentions. What are God's intentions behind gifting us, spiritually speaking? Well, there's two things we're going to see tonight that really there's two intentions, to edify the body and to unify the body. To edify the body, we'll find there in verse 7, 11, and 12, and then verses 13 through 16, we'll see that God's intention is to unify the body. So let's go ahead and look at verses 7 through 12. I'll just read all of those together. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's an interesting thing. If you've studied the book of Ephesians, you know that the first three chapters deal with the wealth of the Christian, what the Christian has in the Lord. And from chapters 4 to the beginning of chapter 6 is really all about the Christian walk. And so it's interesting that Paul actually, in the context of speaking of the Christian walk, deals with the subject of spiritual gifts and talks about really their purpose and intention. Chapter 4 is specifically about unity within the body of Christ. And so it's interesting that we find the gifts associated with the subject of unity. Maybe you've experienced unity as a Christian with other believers in accomplishing some task for the Lord. But it's an important fact, and it's something for us to understand tonight, that spiritual gifts help us determine God's will for our lives. And so understanding the answer to the question of how has God wired me spiritually speaking, how does God want to use me, how has God gifted me, really helps us to get a sense of maybe God's direction in life. I always like to share my own story as just kind of my experience, but early on when I became a Christian, I had this incredible passion to want to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I began to go out specifically to young kids and just tell them about Jesus and skate up to them and skate with them and share with them. And it was just such a simple thing just to go and share the gospel. And of course, that led into me wanting to teach them about the Bible. Of course, I didn't know anything about the Bible, so I would just read them the Bible. And just serving the Lord and learning and using those gifts that He'd given me led into learning how to teach and serving and doing other things. And you know, it's a really neat thing when we start out in some particular place in our Christian life that God will take us somewhere that maybe we never even thought we could go. I love what Pastor Chuck Smith says. He says that it's easier to steer a truck that's moving. You know, the idea, without power steering, of course, you know, and when you're moving, it's a little bit easier to steer someone in the direction that, you know, you want them to go. And spiritually speaking, when we get active and serve the Lord and do the things that God places on our heart to do early on, while they may not be big things in terms of, you know, what people notice or what's going on around the church or whatever, God uses those things to direct us. But notice it says there in verse 7, looking at our text, but to each one of us, grace was given. This each one of us, grace was given is really in reference to Paul saying here that because of Jesus' gift of salvation, because it says according to the measure of Christ's gift, that because of his gift of salvation, in accord with that, in respect to that, Paul's basically saying that each one of us are gifted spiritually speaking. In other words, if you're a Christian here tonight, God is desiring to use you in at least one way. He may have one gift or many gifts for you in your life. And I really believe as we begin to grow and mature in the Lord that God gifts us and uses us in many different ways. And it's an exciting thing. But that's a question to ask yourself. Did you know that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift? One way that they are called to contribute within the body of Christ. And that's the exciting thing. You know, so much of our culture thinks church is just about going and, you know, going through some certain rituals and watching certain things. But the Bible points out that Christians are called to be active and contributors and, you know, a part of the body. That's the idea. If you've ever studied the word fellowship, it actually means participation. And so we participate one with another by exercising gifts and by ministering to one another. But we need to be excited about that. Tonight, if maybe you're here, you've never experienced or understood what your spiritual gifts are. The Bible tells us, Paul specifically says, that we should desire spiritual gifts. That we shouldn't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. God's wanting to show us and reveal that to us. Well, in verses 8 through 10, really, Paul's saying there that Jesus conquered our enemy Satan, led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. And in verse 11, notice what it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he, of course, that is Jesus, gave some to be apostles. Notice that phrase, apostles. And that's the definition of the word apostle. Maybe you've heard it before, one who is sent with a commission. These were specifically these divinely appointed men called to witness the resurrection and establish the founding of the church. But apostles had to have actually seen Jesus after his resurrection. in person. And there are specific qualifications. If you're taking notes, you can write down Acts 1, 15 through 22, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 and 2. But based on these specific qualifications, you know, we don't necessarily have, in the narrow sense, the office of the apostle today. We've got people who are sent with a commission, don't we? I mean, we have missionaries and people sent all over the place. Some of us have been sent with a commission into our workplace or to around the people that, you know, we live by and so on. But in the narrow sense, there's no office of an apostle today, just as a side note. But these apostles that were given to the early church had a specific job to lay the foundation of the church, to build up the body, to direct those believers. Prophets. This speaks of proclaimers of the Word of God. It includes that idea of prediction and proclamation, but mainly has to do with just proclaiming God's truth. You know, sometimes when the gift of prophecy is mentioned, people think of like Nostradamus or somebody who's predicted the future, and it's so much associated with that. But really, for the most part, refers to proclamation of the Word. Not so much foretelling, but forthtelling the Word of God. This gift also could encompass edification, exhortation, consolation. So the gift of prophecy he gave. But also, notice it says, some evangelists. This is a person with a supernatural ability to communicate the gospel with people that they don't know. People who can articulate the truth in a way that is understandable to people who are not saved. Your pastor, whether he will admit it or not, has the gift of evangelism. I know that because he basically led me to the Lord. But the evangelist is someone we think of, you know, Billy Graham is probably the icon and when we think of evangelists. But there are others like Greg Laurie and, you know, many people who have preached the gospel. Maybe you know someone even within this fellowship who has just an overwhelming passion to share the gospel with people. It's their desire to share the Lord with folks they don't know and to see them saved. Well, notice also pastors and teachers. And that's truly those that pastor, speaking of that shepherding heart, those that kind of guide and help the body and, you know, encourage people and care for them and watch out for them. That's the idea of a pastor. Teacher is a person who has an ability to explain the truth in the Word of God in an understandable way, a way that can be applied and used. But the point here in this 11th verse is that there is great diversity within the body of Christ. These were gifts that were given to stimulate growth in the body. And again, these are kind of those main equipping gifts, if you will. These were, you know, the pillars, if you will, that built up the early church and built up the saints and who in turn were gifted and used to build up other saints. But notice verse 12. There's kind of this dual purpose that Paul explains for gifting us. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, that four is where we find there in verse 12 how we get that dual purpose. I like the way the New Living Translation says. It says to equip God's people to do His work. And these main equipping gifts, that is those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, were those that were equipping the saints. Saints, what does that mean there in verse 12? Well, the Bible really tells us that saints are not people that have to meet certain criteria and do so many different miracles and, you know, so on and so forth in order to be called a saint. But the Bible actually calls Christians saints. That is, if you've been born again and trusted in the Lord Jesus, then you're a saint. I could be called Saint John, Saint Randall, you know, and everybody else here. If you're a Christian, then, you know, you could, you know, and are actually a saint. And so truly what we see here is that we could say that, you know, when it says there for the equipping of the saints, we're the equipping of Christians, not just a specific group of people. So according to the scripture, anyone who's born again is a saint, but saints are meant to be equipped. We as Christians are meant to be built up. I'm going to challenge you tonight, and this is always a challenge for all of us as Christians. We are meant to grow. We are meant to be equipped. We are meant to have things around us that help us to become more effective. whether that's in our personal lives or our witness at work or whatever it might be. But equipping actually refers to, guys, complete furnishing or perfecting. You know, what good is a room if it doesn't have furniture? And in our lives as Christians, we kind of start from scratch and we need to be equipped. Maybe you have been in a situation where you've been sharing with someone and not known what to say. And, you know, because of asking questions and allowing yourself to be open and teachable, you've learned a great deal and become more effective in that particular area. By the way, Bungie does have a radar system to detect Mormons. I'm a witness to that. Some kind of light that goes off in his head. But the idea here is radical, that God gifts people to train the saints, that is Christians, for them to do the work of ministry. See, what this says, and there are many people today that think in a very broad sense, a stereotypical way of looking at the church and say, hey, isn't the pastor supposed to do all the ministry? Isn't the pastor supposed to do all the work? Well, what the Bible actually says is that there are these main equipping gifts, and that those equipping gifts, and as they're exercised, saints that are Christians are built up and do the work of the ministry. And so the Bible actually says something totally different, that really we're all to be doing the work of the ministry. Not in a way where we feel obligated. You know, one of the worst things you can do is go serve when you feel obligated. I've just got to go serve somewhere. You know, and what a miserable thing. You know, God wants us to serve out of a giving heart. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. But the truth here is that everyone has a place in the body to fulfill in terms of doing the work of the ministry. Guys, connect with the verse. Understand this, that when it says the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, those that are saints in the Lord, we are meant as Christians to be doing the work of the ministry. You know, that's such a broad term because the work of the ministry is so elaborate. It's so broad. There are so many things that have to do with what goes on in the church. I was a janitor for 4 years at Calvary Austin. That is the North Austin now. I got to remember to say that. And I learned many things about, you know, just what it takes to do ministry. All of the behind the scenes type things, you know. And there's so much work, so much opportunity, if you will, within the church to serve the Lord. Well, another thing we see here is the model of godly leadership, that really those who are older in the Lord are discipling and building up other Christians. Let me challenge you guys tonight, because what we see here is kind of this trickle-down effect, if you will, that as leaders and people are called to shepherd, and you know there are those that are gifted with equipping-type gifts, and they're reaching out to those that need to be built up more, how many of us have taken advantage of those opportunities when someone says, hey, you know, let me challenge you, let me encourage you, let me build you up? And truly, that's the way for us to find maturity within our Christian lives. And so we see that modeled for us here, that these equipping gifts are for the building up of the body. Edifying, if you will, is what it means. Building up. But is there someone in your life that you learn from? Man, as I think about that question, and as we look at this intention behind spiritual gifts, as we see that God wants us to unite together and strengthen one another, and I think about my own Christian experience, there have been so many people around me who have helped me and taught me and encouraged me. You know, we need that connection. We need that input. Well, the second thing there, notice, build up the church, that is in the New Living Translation, the body of Christ. The equipping of the saints so they can do ministry is what really builds up the body. See, the interesting thing that Paul is communicating here is that the church is healthy. The church is built up when saints are ministering to saints. Saints are a part of the work that's going on. And there's an awesome unity that takes place there as well. But in other words, it's the saints doing ministry that causes the body to be built up. So you as a Christian, that's challenging, isn't it? These are some of the most challenging passages in Scripture when it comes to being a part of the body of Christ. Your gifts, our gifts, God wants to use to build up this church. And the cool thing about it is that we are gifts when gifted. That when God gifts you, you are a gift to another person. Man, fellowship sure does take on a whole nother light when you begin to discuss the subject of spiritual gifts. So the first intention that we see here tonight is edifying the body of Christ. Paul understood here that if the Ephesian church, if it was going to be an effective church, they needed to understand their spiritual roles. And see, that's the thing that makes a church effective, is people understanding what it is God would want to use them to do. Understanding their spiritual gifts. But we as Christians should never really be content with just knowing the Lord or just being saved. And we should be longing, we should be seeking, looking for that place that God has for us within the body to fulfill. I love what H.A. Ironside says. He says, "Do not be content to come to a meeting and just be a spiritual sponge. Fill up and then let the blessed Lord do some squeezing." So true. God wants to squeeze us out and use us in the body. So the first intention that we see is that God is wanting to edify the body through the spiritual gifts. But the second thing that we see, and kind of more of our focus here, is found in verses 13 through 16, and that's the idea of unifying the body. Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Unified by our spiritual life in the Lord. Unity is such a cool thing. You know, we find ourselves connecting with people once we're Christians that in the world maybe we would never have anything to do with. There's a great illustration of the body. And maybe you guys have been to California. How many of you guys have ever been to California? How many of you guys have ever been to Yosemite National Park? You know, 4 years ago on my honeymoon, or our honeymoon, we went to Yosemite and saw those giant redwood trees. You ever seen those sequoia trees? I mean, like you could drive a Volkswagen through these trees. They're gigantic. And some of them are like 2,500 years old over that, and they're just huge trees. And some of them are like 300 feet high. I mean, it's insane. They're so high. And you would think with these trees, they're just a great representation of what the body should be like, is that you would think that with these large trees, 300 feet high, that they would have like these enormous root systems that would go down 100 feet and, you know, attach themselves to rocks and stuff, you know. But actually, sequoias, these redwood trees, actually have very, very shallow roots. And their roots actually connect one with another. And as their roots connect, they're able to withstand the storms and the wind and so on. And the truth is that if one of those trees stands alone, it falls. And it's a great representation of how the body actually works. When we stand alone, we fall. But the idea behind spiritual gifts is the idea of unity. There's unity within that. And really, we see in verse 13 three goals, and I'll just briefly go over these, but there is unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are the three things there. Unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Paul's basically saying in that this equipping is going to continue until believers come to the unity of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God. And that could mean in the immediate sense that these gifts help the church reach its full potential. And in the future sense, that these gifts will continue until the rapture of the church, until we go meet the Lord in the air. the perfect man is reference to that complete or mature man. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, each believer functions in accord with the gifts that Christ has given them. And the body as a whole enjoys that unity and becomes more spiritually mature, more like Jesus Christ in all its fullness, in all His fullness, excuse me. But the big picture here is this, as we move through this, the idea that Paul's communicating here is that of becoming more like Christ, there in verse 13. That as those we use those gifts, as we are built up, we become more like the Lord and we're more unified together. Verses 14 and 15 talk about the fruit, the results of Him gifting us. Notice it says that we should no longer be children. Children there is kind of the idea of infant is really the word, but it's figuratively talking of a simple-minded person. You know, children are sometimes easily deceived. You know, you can sometimes trick kids. Some kids are a little bit wittier than others, but for the most part, I think we'd probably agree on that. But spiritually speaking, if we are not being built up and growing and connecting with other Christians, then, you know, we are easy targets for the enemy. And the truth is that, I know this is so true in my Christian experience, that early on as a Christian, it seemed like every cult group on planet Earth was trying to attack me, trying to pull me into their ranks. And actually, your pastor, Pastor Bungie, was actually one of the ones that saved me from actually getting involved in a cult group. You know, there was this certain group called the Children of God, and they had all kinds of really strange doctrine, and I was real excited about hanging out with missionaries. And I came to Bungie, and he said, "Hey, man, this stuff is wacko, man. Here's why." And he broke it down, and I was glad that I had people around me to help me. But one of the results of gifts being exercised is that we're no longer children. We're not easily deceived. But also verse 16 there is a snapshot of the spiritually active church. And notice, I'm going to read this again, and this is really the thrust of really what I wanted to communicate tonight, and what I think is really important for us to grab, is that from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Did you know that as a Christian, as a saint, you were called to be a joint, a ligament, or a tendon? Blood vessels. I like to think of love as the circulatory system within the body. But all of us are called to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's the fascinating thing, is that the church is not meant to be a place where people just have casual connections and, you know, hey, yeah, I know that guy and whatever. There's meant to be deep spiritual connections within the church. I encourage you, God is wanting to meet that need. You know, sometimes we can think that, oh, there's no way I can connect with people in this church. But we've got to make sure we pray about that and allow the Lord to connect us with other people. Notice that phrase, effective working. It refers to efficiency or strong operation. This is really referring to the power of the Holy Spirit. The effective working of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives really generates, uses us, the Lord does, to be effective. And really, Paul's saying here that this effective working, it helps every part of the body do its share and result to building up the church. Well, the Holy Spirit desires to work in each of us as believers. And really, we have to, you know, just ask the Lord to empower us. And truly, that work brings growth of the body of Christ. It causes growth. And, you know, this snapshot we get of the church shows us that it's not enough for us just to be saved and to, you know, just hang out, but to share what God has given us, to connect one with another, to contribute to one another's lives and to the ministry as a whole. But there are many people today that are just satisfied with just coming to church and that's it. And the cool thing about this is that it's not like a bummer to hear a message like this or to fall and look at some of these verses, you know, read into this and look at this. it's actually a blessing because when we connect with the idea that we're meant to contribute, we experience relationships, we experience purpose, we experience the deepest connections that we've ever experienced in our lives. You know, I thought in the world before I was a Christian, these are my friends. I love my friends. They're great. And when I became a Christian and began to serve alongside with people and to serve the Lord and to get to know and see what God has done in other people's lives and to have those spiritual connections, being mentored by others, the relationships that I had in the world didn't even compare. Some of us, we've got to remember that the Lord is wanting to supply. He's wanting to join us together with other Christians, unify us, and that there's a blessing involved in that. It's such a neat thing. Sometimes, I have a wonderful family, but sometimes by serving with people, by, you know, laboring for the Lord and doing, you know, things for God, there's such a family connection there. It's like, wow, here's my spiritual family. But Paul gives us truly here a picture of the church walking in unity. And this is one of the other ideas of the intentions behind spiritual gifts. And so to conclude, as we're out of time tonight, I want to ask you a question again. You know, all of us have resumes and stuff. You know, we've got like, you know, some of us have been looking for jobs, and so we've been trying to tailor that resume, you know, and we're like, well, I did this, I did that, I do this, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. What about our spiritual resume? What are our spiritual gifts? What would we put on our spiritual resume? Now, again, it's not like a bummer if you don't know that, but it's good to go and try to find out. God, how do you want to use me within the body of Christ? Because that is the ticket to blessing. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And sometimes we think that it's more about receiving, but really the Bible says it's more about giving and giving ourselves to the work of the Lord. But we become tools in God's hand when we're gifted. And, you know, as we close, I have here my Swiss Army knife. Now, some of you would think, yeah, these are just kind of those little, you know, things that you leave in your drawer and you don't really use them. But actually, I work part-time for the church in Killeen. I actually do construction. And I do a lot of construction. And this tool is seriously handy. I'm always needing this tool for some weird reason. And usually I'm using it for what it's not necessarily designed for. But the neat thing about that Swiss Army knife is that it's incredibly useful. There are many things on here. I've got, you know, my knife, which is very sharp. And, you know, I've got, you know, my screwdriver. This is very, very handy. And then, of course, I have this corkscrew thing, but, you know, I don't ever need this, but I use it for other things. Here's my point, is that as I look at this knife, as you think about the different uses of this tool, see, God wants us to be useful tools. He wants us to be handy. And when we offer ourselves and say, Lord, you know what? I just want to be used by you. He'll use us as a tool. And there's nothing more exciting than being a tool in God's hand and being used in a way to bless other people, to truly help other people and to contribute to the work of God. Well, let's have a word of prayer.